how we need the Holy Spirit, amen, and revival. Holy Spirit led revival in our day, and he's given to lead us into all truth, amen. And I'm thankful tonight. We have a missionary tonight that not only believes in the King James Bible, but they're a Bible printer that believes in putting the pure Word of God out in every language. And folks, even in fundamentalism, it's a something that we need to be careful of. People, they care about it in English because they know most churches care about it.
You're right.
All right. But they care very little about it when it comes to everyone else. And I cannot live without every word of God.
Come on.
And that's for every people, not just for me.
Yes,
I didn't
sir.
Just give it to me in English, but in every language. So appreciate Brother Shannon Lamont. I don't want to take any more of your time, brother. You come on, and he's going to have the service tonight. He'll preach to us, but also you got a slideshow as well. Or
that's old school in the video.
Right? Yes, sir. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen. I love this precious book. I am blessed to be a third generation missionary in this ministry whose sole purpose is to print the Word of God and to give it to missionaries free of charge on the foreign field. I mean, you can't beat that, can you? I truly believe you cannot do the work of God without the Word of God. My grandfather in 1968 started this ministry with the help of my dad that surrendered at the age of 12. At the age of 14, my grandfather bought my dad a single color multi-lift press and said, get back there and learn how to use it. So that was how he was trained. So in 1968 in Fort Worth, Texas, they started the Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation, moved to Shelbyville in 72 and been there ever since. I wasn't there at the time. I didn't come along until 79. But God is blessed. We've been able to produce over 65 million copies of the Word of God. Last year, we were able to do an amazing, tremendous goal we've never really hit. Was almost our max production of 2.5 million copies of the Word of God. That was with our just our single press. 2015, God gave us a bigger building. We went from a 10,000 square foot building to a 34,000 square foot building. So that allowed us to do more than triple our production. But besides that, you know, once you hit production rate, you're in a mess. But God gave us something else last year that's going to allow us to do more than triple it again. We got another press. I love the fact that we're not running one anymore, we're running two. So that means that our greatest need now is roll sponsors. A roll of paper, you'll see it on this DVD. This is only the third time I've showed this DVD, so if it's terrible, blame my wife. But I'm excited about you getting to see it, see the ministry working, seeing the ministry running, because the eye affects the heart. And when you see this, you'll know what your missions dollars are going to. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your faithful support of this ministry. We could not do what we do without y'all's help. And so y'all help us get it done. Y'all help us get the production increased. And I promise you, if you see it today, what it was when I presented my wife said almost 10 years ago that y'all been with us supporting this ministry, that you wouldn't recognize it. God has just blessed tremendously, opened up many doors for us. I was telling the kids this morning that we've been in the car 70 hours just in the last 2 weeks. You know, just going here and there, just telling people about the great ministry in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And I always encourage you, you know, anytime I get to speak to anybody that's got college students in it, man, I love you college kids. They're great kids. They're growing up to be great kids. I mean, they're polite, they're kind, they got a love for God. And I've gone places where I didn't see that. You know, y'all doing a great job. But if you're in college and you've got missions as a major, if you ever need the Word of God, please call me. I want to help you get the Word of God to your people, because that's what it's all about, us working together for the sole purpose, because I promise you, the Word of God will help you on your field do more for. So in the last decade, God has multiplied this ministry. In 2020, we did just shy of 1.8. I mentioned last year, just shy of 2.5. Now we've got this new press, which now we have this capability of 7 million. And I encourage you. Yeah, it's exciting to see what God's doing. Here's a 10-minute DVD. If you got any questions, please feel free to ask me after church. I'll look forward to answering them.
Mark Smith, and I'm the president of the board of directors for the Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation here in Shelbyville, Tennessee. It's my privilege as a pastor, a serving pastor from Faith Baptist Church in Tacoma, Washington, to work alongside of this ministry in the distribution of Bibles. This ministry is well known around the world, and especially to missionaries on the foreign field, for producing the precious Word of God and distributing it worldwide.
My family, we've been missionaries in the country of Croatia for 21 years now. The greatest need that we had was a Bible. It's hard to have a church if you don't have a good Bible. The Bibles we had were perversions, if you will. And God put it on my heart to translate the Word of God into the Croatian language. And after 12 years of labor, myself, a national pastor, another missionary, made that happen and became a reality. But we had a problem. We had to translate it. But what were we to do then? Wasn't going to handwrite it and give it to them. And so I remembered when I was back in Bible college, Brother Lamon Sr. came by our college. And I remember him looking at the students and said, if you ever need a Bible, you call me. And I called the number, looked it up on the internet and called it. And Dr. Bobby Lamon answered the phone and I told him the story about his dad and what happened in Bible college. And immediately he said, we'll print your Bible for you. Won't cost you a thing. Bible Literature Missionary Foundation sent us 10,000 Bibles. I cannot tell you the joy of our people when I opened the first box of those New Testaments and I began to pass them out to our people. Brother Lamon has agreed they're going to send another container to us very soon. It'll be the third container of Bibles. Cost us nothing.
I'll be honest with you, Bible Literature Missionary Foundation, in my opinion, is one of the best kept secrets in our country. A ministry that prints Bibles and sends them all over the world for missionaries all over the place, free of charge. And I've been on this end of seeing Bibles loaded onto a trailer, and I've watched them get unloaded and watched people just so excited to get their hands on their very own copy of the Word of God. To me, you ought to be a part of it. No matter who you are, even if you're not a pastor, make it part of your budget to be a part of a ministry that is doing everything they can. The faith aspect of this ministry, to me personally, is the most challenging, motivational, and inspiring part. To see their leadership just so for getting the gospel out, whatever it takes, stepping up by faith and trusting the Lord, and seeing God provide miracle after miracle.
The Lord saved me in 1973, called me to preach in 74, and I pastored 17 years. God called me into missions. And as a pastor, I supported printed ministries. And when I went on to missions, and then I began to realize a greater importance in the investment and then the involvement of printing and getting the Word of God to the mission field. I can remember going into Kenya for the first time. And then I remember the second time, the third time, the Lord really did something in my life that changed me that day. What happened is there was about probably 1,800 people there. And I asked the people there, I said, how many of you have a copy of the Word of God? And only 100 people raised their hand. It broke my heart. I began to weep to see all those people there. 1,700 of them did not have a copy of the Word of God. I had no idea where to get Bibles from. I didn't know whom to call. We began to pray. And then 6 months later, through Bible Literature Missionary Foundation, they gave us 42,000 King James Bibles, Old Testament, New Testament, and we shipped them there to Kenya. When I got there the next time, we passed out Bibles. I saw mothers and daddies with tears running down their faces and thanking God for a copy of the Word of God. And through Bible Literature Missionary Foundation, we have sent 9 containers to date.
A vision for this ministry was given to Dr. Bob Lamond Sr. during World War II, as he served as a chaplain's assistant after being injured on the front lines. Traveling around the European battlefields, Brother Lamond noticed none of the people had a copy of the Word of God. He brought that burden back to the States, and in 1968, with the help of his son, Bobby Lamond Jr., started the Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation out of the Hemp Hill Baptist Church where he pastored in Fort Worth, Texas. In 1972, the ministry moved to Shelbyville, Tennessee, under the leadership of the Victory Baptist Church. BLMF continues to grow and produce more scriptures than ever.
Hello there, I'm Lloyd Warren, pastor at Victory Baptist Church, and I have the honor of being part of the home church that the Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation is based out of. I've had the privilege of working with the Bible and Literature for over 30 years of my own life, and now as a pastor of Victory Baptist Church, I'm able to tell you that you can find no greater ministry to be a part of. I know for a fact this is a ministry that loves the Lord, a ministry built on integrity, and a ministry built on faith. And so I encourage you to do all you can to help this ministry, because what you give to them will be used greatly in the work of God.
Hello, I'm Shannon Lamond, the Assistant Director with the Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation. Any given day, we have several different languages going. We've got English on the web press, Urdu Bibles on the collating tables, and we have Arabic Bibles on the binder. I get phone calls daily from missionaries saying, how can I get a container of scriptures? How can we get the Word of God to our people?
A container will hold 30,000 whole Bibles, or 65 to 75,000 New Testaments, or 350,000 John and Romans. A roll of paper costs us approximately $1,000, and that will produce 500 whole Bibles, or 2,000 New Testaments, or 10,000 John and Romans. At our current rate of production, we need to raise finances for 7 trailer loads of paper per month.
Scripture says the Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. But I love the verse that says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
My friend, the word of God is the only way that they'll know about Jesus Christ.
You know, we can't do anything apart from this precious book. I couldn't be saved. There wouldn't be a church. We'd have no message to preach.
To me, if you're saved, if you have a pulse, if you love the Lord, if you love our perfectly preserved, inspired King James Bible, then get a part of this ministry and do your best to support it.
Please consider taking them on for support. They are so worthy to the missionary. It costs us absolutely nothing on the mission field to receive Bibles. This is a ministry. It's not a business. It is a ministry for missionaries.
This ministry needs your financial commitment. And what a ministry it is. Thank God for Bible Literature Missionary Foundation that prints the Word of God, helps missionaries, gets the Word of God to the foreign fields.
We're in over 125 countries.
It is actually a miracle working ministry.
Our production has never been sufficient to meet the needs, to meet the requests that we get.
So my friend, will you help us?
if you love this precious book, that you would want to do something to help to get it to those that do not have it.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Parson, Brother Morgan, for allowing us to be here. We love this church. Years ago, my mother, before she passed away, she asked me, she said, "Shannon, I want you to learn the history of the Bible." I said, "Man, that sounds like a lot of work." She passed away. I just finished a book that we're fixing to put into print on the providential preservation and publication of the Word of God that I'm looking forward to, because we hit a lot of things that a lot of people don't hit on. Well, I talk about the kings and the queens and how they influence the Bible transmission. I talk about, when the web press and all them started coming out. I'm sure glad we don't print it like they used to in the old days. You know, I mean, we can print 50,000 in 2 weeks' time and keep the presses running. So that's why we need roll sponsors. I'm praying and asking God to give us 3,000 people that would sponsor one roll a year, and we can keep both of them web presses fed with paper. They're awfully expensive. But you've got to do what we got to do to get the written word of God to the lost and dying world. The Bible says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple." If we can just get people the word of God, these missionaries will see a great harvest of souls added to the kingdom of God. I'm looking forward to it. I kind of struggled over tonight's message because I wanted to preach on, a simple message on missions. But I think Lord's led me to preach on the importance of the Word of God, because if you can fall in love with the Word of God, you'll do whatever it takes for missions. I was reading, I love math, I love numbers. I was reading something the other day, and it told me that there's less than 54% of the world's population that reads their Bible. The churchgoers reads their Bible on a day-to-day basis. That broke my heart. Because here's one of the things that changed my life when I was studying the history of the Bible. I remember reading a story about William Tyndale. William Tyndale was a man that I would give credit for giving us the pure text. I know most of you probably heard of Wycliffe. Wycliffe did not give us a pure translation. He translated it from the Latin Vulgate, so we do not count him as number one of the seven, but we do give him credit. But William Tyndale went back to the right text and gave us the pure translation. And in this conversation earlier in the 1500s, he was sitting at a dinner table with some priests. And this priest made this statement. He says, "It is better to be without God's law than without the Pope's law." I don't know about you, but any Christian, that ought to make mad. That ought to get their blood boiling. That ought to get us furiated. That ought to make us want to charge hell with a water gun. And so when I read that, I got upset about it, just like William Tyndale did. William Tyndale stood up and he says, "I defy you, I defy the Pope, and if God spare my life, I will cause the plowboy to know more of the Word of God than you." And I love the fact that he said that, because that's what this ministry is. It's a continuation of the burden that William Tyndale had, because we want to get the plowboy the Word of God. You'll notice that a lot of countries over the periods of years, they like to suppress knowledge. You know, for over 1,000 years, we weren't allowed to own anything in any other language than Latin, because they wanted to control knowledge. And when you have access to the Word of God, people start seeing things a little different. You know, I mean, I truly believe that if you have, my daughter was praying on the way into church, and she prayed, said, "Lord, don't let my dad get into politics." So I had to stop right there, and I said, "She prayed. I quit. You know where I was going with that. If you have the Word of God, you just know. All right. So it's exciting. I love this country. I love this book. And I sure am glad I have the freedom to use this book and to hold this book. If you got your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 55:11. Please pray that you'll allow the Lord to speak to you tonight, because I believe that God has this for you. Because there's something in this book that is very powerful. When you read the words of God, they just come off the pages of the Word of God. They change lives, they change eternities, and better yet, they change generations. And all it took was one sermon that I heard that changed my entire life. It was Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I surrendered my life to Christ. I said, here am I, Lord, send me. And I've been printing and preaching, traveling for this ministry ever since. In Isaiah 55:11, you'll see it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish it which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I love guarantees from the Word of God. I love when God promises you something, you can take it to the bank. I love the fact that he says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. I mean, we should have learned that in 2020. Just the problems we were facing coming to the house of God by our own country. The freedom that we have, we ought to hold it. My dad made this statement at a scripture conference in 2020, and I've stolen it. He said that it's going to church online is like kissing your wife over the phone. All you get is the smack and none of the sugar. I said, that's pretty good. Also, you understand the Bible promises you if you give 10%, he'll bless you. I mean, there's promises all throughout the Bible that he promises you if you do, he'll bless. He promises you if you give to missions, he'll bless you. I mean, there's just something about it. I mean, you can't outgive God. You can't do anything that God, he says, I will not be a debtor to no man. I mean, if you give it back to God, God will give it back to you almost 100-fold almost every time. I've seen it so many times in my own life. And you see this passage of scripture, every time I read it, it just comes off the pages. And I was studying this and I come up with just these few points that I hope that'll help you. Because when you're talking about the Word of God, you're talking about the greatest possession you have in this life. I mean, God didn't spend over 1,600 years using over 40 different authors, compiling this, what was in heaven, bringing it down to earth, just for us to use it as a nighttime decoration. He wanted us to use it for a purpose. He wanted us to read it. He wanted us to study it. He wanted us to memorize it. He wanted us to learn from it. Why? Because it's that important. And I promise you, if you will apply it to your life will be different. You see this. First thing I want you to see is the amazing ministry of the Word of God. The amazing ministry of the Word of God is first and foremost salvation. You know, I mean, you cannot get saved outside of the book. Romans 10:17 says what? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I mean, that's why it's so important. I remember at the age of 12, my pastor gets up to go behind the pulpit. He gets up and says, open up your Bibles too. And somebody in the back of the church says, I need to testify. And for 2 hours, I listened to people's testimony, how God saved them and from what God saved them from. And I remember at the age of 12, after church service, I went into my mom's bedroom and I said, Mom, I don't have anything like that. So my mom opened up her Bible and she showed me how I was lost before I got found. Am I still on? Can you hear me all right? Okay, my wife says I got ADHD. I can't stand still. I'm sorry. She says it's no wonder God called me to preach. The amazing ministry of the Word of God is first and foremost salvation. We were given a great opportunity in 2011. How many of you remember that King James Bible turned 400 years? We wanted to do something tremendous. We wanted to reach outside the box. We wanted to do something we've never done before. So we prayed about it, and God laid it on our hearts to try to do 400,000 King James Bible for the 400th anniversary. We got an opportunity to send several containers to the Philippines, so we got behind some missionaries that we were doing that. The president asked us to send a container personally for him, said, I want to give every one of our delegates the Word of God after this project. So we printed insert pages in every one of those with websites, because I am a firm believer that we are failing in our churches today because of discipleship. We like to win them, but we don't like to spend too much time with them. Because we need the disciple. That's still part of the Great Commission. Discipleship is still biblical. So we printed all these inserts in there. We set up a web page. And so we set it up and we passed out all these Bibles and New Testaments. And in just 1 week time, we had 114,000 people get on this website saying, we received a Bible. What do we do next? Amen. We saw churches that were running 50s are now running hundreds. We saw churches that were running hundreds are now running thousands. We saw churches that are still in building projects today because God did what he said he would do. My word shall not return unto me void. But here's my favorite one. You've got salvation under control, but the amazing ministry of the Word of God's salvation, but you also got growth. How many of you read the Bible? Notice 1 Peter 2:2 still in the book. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Man, here's the proof is in the pudding. If you got a desire and a hunger for the Word of God, you know there's a good chance you're probably saved. But if you don't have a good hunger for the Word of God, I would ask you to check up on your salvation, because the Holy Spirit that is living inside you wants you to know more and to hunger and to thirst more in the Word of God and to grow in Christ and the things of God. So you see this thing, amazing ministry of the Word of God and salvation, you see it in growth. Third thing I want you to see about the amazing ministry of the Word of God is, what about edification? How many of you like to feel good? You know, the pastor's job is, one of his jobs is to edify the saints. But how does he do that? Through the Word of God. That's why he uses and preaches the Word of God. I was given an opportunity. I've got so many stories I can share with you, but this one comes to mind about, I was in New York several times there several years, and a missionary, a pastor friend of mine I got acquainted with, he calls me one day out of the blue and he says, Brother Lamont, do you have any Chinese Bibles? I said, I have a few. He says, I need one. I said, I'll get it in the mail tomorrow. I call him and tell him I put it in the mail. He says, thank you. I think nothing else about it. Conversation over. A couple months goes by and he calls me out of the blue and he says, Brother Lamont, you remember that Bible you sent me? I said, yes, sir. He says, I've got to read this to you. He goes on and he reads this and he says, Pastor, thank you for the Bible. I wanted to let you know I got it into China. If you know anything about China, China is the number one Bible producer in the world. They just don't know what Bible to produce. There are providences in China that you can have a Bible, and there's some providences that you cannot have a Bible. So when she said she got it into China, she let me know she lived in one of those providences. But this is the best part of the entire letter. She concludes the letter with saying, I also wanted to let you know that right now every member of my family is handwriting them their own copy of the Word of God. I got off the phone, tears in my eyes. I looked at my wife. I said, I'm going to write me a Bible. I got to Genesis chapter 22 and I said, this is ridiculous. I have a printing press. That's the truth. You see the amazing ministry of the Word of God. You see it in salvation. You see it in growth. You see it in edification. And the next point I want you to see is the amazing multiplication of the Word of God. You see, we're not trying to replace missionaries. I want to help every missionary that stands for truth, loves their King James Bible, wants to see souls saved, and get involved with the ministry of Christ. I want to help every one of them. So we're not trying to replace them. We're just trying to give them the tools that they need to do the job that God's called them to do. So you'll see that in the amazing ministry of the Word of God, you'll see this thing called expectancy. You know, I mean, humans do get sick. Every year I have missionaries come home off the field. I hate it, but that's just the way life is. I had a missionary friend in Sri Lanka that got a door on the knock, and the government come in there and said, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I'm here to tell your people about Jesus Christ." He says, "I know, I've been following you for a year. I've came with a warrant for your arrest. But since you were honest with me, I'm confiscating your passport. I give you 30 hours to get out of the country." Bibles we sent him are still over there doing the job that he was called to do. Missionary to India, went to the doctor. The doctor said that you're going to die if you stay here. He says, I've got a ministry. I got things to do. He says, you're going to die if you stay here. He was going to stay there, but his dad got on a plane, flew over there, and said, "Would you please come home and get better? If you still feel like you need to go after you get better, just come home and get better." The Bibles we sent them are still over there doing the job that they were called to do. Missionary to Belize, the same thing. Every year, missionary friends of mine have to come home for some reason or another. But the Word of God does what He says it's going to do. My word shall not return unto me void. The amazing ministry of the Word of God, you see it in expectancy. What about expansion? I get to talk to missionaries all over the world. I love it. I get phone calls sometimes from China. I get phone calls from Africa. I get phone calls. Sometimes it doesn't help my phone bill, but I mean, I enjoy getting to talk to these people. And I talk to every one of them that I send Bibles to. I ask them, I said, "Can you tell me the impact? Can you tell me what's going on over there?" And they'll tell me, they says, "Brother Lamont, we estimate that somewhere every Bible, every literature, every tract, every John and Romans, every New Testament, every Bible that we send over there reaches somewhere between 8 to 20 people's lives." That light bulb goes off in my head. So you know what that tells me, Pastor? World's not unreachable, it's just unreached. We've only got 8 billion people that live on this planet. So God's not giving us a commission that He says that He knew that we cannot do. He's given us a commission that He knew that we can do. That's why it's so important to get behind these missionaries so they can reach the lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last point I want you to see real quick is you'll see the amazing ministry of the Word of God and expansion, expectancy, but what about evangelistic cycle? I used to sing songs with my wife in junior church, 5 to 8 year olds, each one reach one. We used to do these things that, I mean, it's just the most amazing thing in the world. The math makes sense. I like it because if everybody in this room would make it their personal goal in 2023, they got 365 days to bring one person to the house of God. Guess what you just did? You just doubled in size. It makes so simple. That's why I told my wife, I said, "I'm praying for 3,000 people annually to sponsor a roll of paper." The math just makes sense. So I got this brilliant idea. I called a friend. I was sending a Bible to Kenya. Some of y'all know them, the Stanleys. And I said, "Would this work?" I explained to him about that whole process. I said, "Would this work?" I said, "We don't, America, we like to be comfortable. We don't like to be challenged. We don't like to step out of our box." But I said, "Over there in Kenya, I just sent you 30,000 Bibles. You're going to open them up in a big meeting, and you're going to pass out Bibles, and you're going to give out thousands of them. You're going to preach to thousands of people. You're going to see people saved and walk the aisle. You're going to give out more Bibles." I said, "Will this work?" And he said, "What are you thinking?" I said, "I'm thinking, what if we challenge them to reach one?" I said, "What if we go the extra mile here and we say, hey, we want you to memorize the Bible, what they use to lead you to Christ. We want you to study it. We want you to go home and read it. We want you to write down some verses if you can. But we want you to pray that God gives you one. And when they give you that one, I want you to turn around and give that Bible to them." He says, "Brother, that sounds good, but why would they give their only Bible away?" I said, "I'll send you 30,000 more in less than 12 months. He said, "Your own." I like a good challenge. He said, "Don't get me wrong." He said, "Not everybody did it, or he didn't see everybody did it. But he did say it was amazing to see the ones that did do it." He says, "Man, I'd be talking to somebody and somebody would go straight towards somebody. You'll watch them and they'll bow their head and they'll be looking at something on this Bible. Then they'll bow their head and pray. Then he'll turn around and say, 'I want to give this to you.'" He says, "I saw it a few times and I walked over there and I said, 'Why would you give your Bible away?'" He's expecting. He said, "The guy that sent them to me told me to, or you told me to." He said, "No, he didn't say that." He said, "Because 30,000 in my country will do far greater good than me keeping my one." You see the amazing multiplication of the Word of God in evangelistic cycle. You see, when you give the Word of God, you give hope, you give faith, you give comfort, you give light, you give life, you give bread, you give milk, you give meat, you give so much more. You give salvation. My favorite verse in the Bible is John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You give them Jesus Christ. You see the amazing ministry of the Word of God and expectancy, expansion, and evangelistic cycle. I want to just kind of conclude with this illustration and story right quick. I wasn't told what time to be done, but I am trying to be mindful of the clock. I was in Washington State. I get done preaching, and all of a sudden, this lady comes up to me, and she says, "Shannon, you don't understand." You ever have a lady that's older than you look at you and say, "You don't understand"? You automatically think you preached something that was heresy. You know, you didn't read something right. You got the wrong Joel Osteen sermon out. I mean, you just, what happened here? And so she called me over to the corner with tears in her eyes, and I asked my wife to join us. And she looked at me and she says, "I was the oldest of four, born in communistic Ukraine." She says, "It was my job to take the Bible that my dad acquired, wrap it up into a fabric, put it inside a notched out brick inside the fireplace." And it says, "For years I'd get it out. I'd bring it to the table, we would read one verse or we would read one chapter. I'd put it back, wrap it up, put it back in the fireplace, light the fire." So this one particular day, we got that knock on that door. "I've just got the Bible out in a hurry. I wrapped it up, put it inside that notched out brick in that fireplace, lit that fire to turn around to see them ransacking our house, looking for anything to take my parents to jail, anything they can discriminate us for." And they said that they were such a hurry that I messed up, and I look over into that fire, and that fire was going into that fireplace. That fabric falling into that fire, and that fire was going up into that Bible. They said, "For years we lived without the Word of God because I messed up." Said when I went, they left, I went and pulled that Bible out, and it was nothing but ashes. She says, "I couldn't remember." I said, "I remember the day like it was yesterday that my dad walks in and says, 'Family, we're moving to America.' We land in Washington, and the very first thing we do is go get us a Bible." She said, "It was like no time had passed. We put it on our table. We read it. We loved it. We enjoyed it." And it says that we read it and we learned morning, night, and noon. And said, "Man, we were excited to have the Bible back in our life." Says, "My dad asked me, said, 'I need to get a job to live in America.'" She said, "Brother Lamont, I told you all this to tell you this." And she says, "I got a job working in a factory here in Seattle." Says, "I got this job and I was excited about it. I would go in and I would tell all my fellow co-workers what I'd learned in the Bible that morning and what I'd studied in the Word of God. And they said they always gave me one of two answers. 'That's in the Bible, or you talk about this too much.'" She said, "Brother Lamont, I quickly learned that Americans did not love their Bible like we loved our Bible." I'm just weeping like a baby. My wife was weeping like a baby listening to this story. And she said, "Nobody's going to care what you're doing until they fall in love with their Bible." This was just not too long ago in this election, and just a short time we went through cancel culture and different things, and I was thinking about, you know, we don't have the freedom promised to us to enjoy the Word of God like we used to. It may be just a short time till they come after and knock on our doors and say, "Do you have any Bibles in your house?" So we really need to get back to the fundamentals of faith here, and we need to fall back in love with the Word of God. And I mean, if we're going to be running against the time here with the love of the Word of God, we need to start thinking about, we may not have the time that we thought we had to send all these missionaries to the foreign field to get them over there before their door closes. Amen. Because we're living in the last days. We're no longer living in the last weeks. We're no longer living in the last days. We're now living in the last seconds. Because I believe we're about out of here. My pastor used to say, if I find the button, I'm going to push it. And if I find it, I'm going to push it. But how much do you love your Bible? Because here's the whole thing about the entire missions that I was struggling with. Because if we loved our Bible like we should love our Bible, when a missionary comes in and presents their field, we ought to go, "What can I do?" Because there's lost and dying people all over the world that need to hear the gospel. So how much do you love your Bible? I told that lady from Ukraine that says that we didn't love our Bible like she loved our Bible. I said, "Ma'am, you're right." But I said, effective immediately, the next time I see you, you're not going to be able to say that. Because I don't know how long I'm going to be able to keep it, love it, read it, study it, memorize it. So how much do you love your Bible? Would you please stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Pastor, would you come? Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for just everything you've done. Thank you for everybody in this room that came out to support your church, your man, your mission work. So I love missions conferences because this is when your people get together and we decide the fate of the heathen. What are we going to do this year concerning reaching the lost and dying world? Lord, I'm asking you to do something tonight. I'm asking you to move in a mighty way. I'm asking you to give us a fire, a revival of the love of the Word of God that said, that is right. We may not have the Word of God tomorrow. We may not have the Word of God in a year's coming. We may not have the Word of God and the freedom to get up behind this sacred desk and to preach the precious Word of God. So we need to do everything we can while we still can. Lord, move in a mighty way. Lord, I ask you, Lord, if there's someone here that's lost and on their way to hell, that they'll understand that they're lost and on their way to hell. That calling out on Jesus is the only way to save them. That you'll move in a mighty way, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
God spoke to your heart tonight. Why don't you step out and come? As Brother Burt leads in an invitation hymn, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? If there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, you've never been born again, you never accepted Him, no one's ever taken the Word of God and shown you how you can know for sure that you can live forever with the Lord in heaven, why don't you step out and come tonight? The invitation's open for you. Many have come for all kinds of different reasons. And maybe if God spoke to your heart tonight about loving the Word of God and you didn't step out and come, there's still time for you. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine. I surrender. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me.
Let's sing it with Him.
I surrender all. I surrender.
You did whatever God asked you to do tonight. It's convicting when you realize how hungry the world is for the book that we sell for a dollar at the dollar store, for the book that we can get readily available, and for many times it's we don't hide it in a hollowed out brick in the fireplace. It's hidden in open sight on the table, and we bring it to church with us, and the place we lay it down is the place we pick it up when we go back to church the next time. And folks, it's just, sometimes we just are, you know, this the unthankfulness of realizing what the precious, the amazing Word of God, as He preached it tonight, what we have and what we hold in our hands. And folks, people around the world, and that's why we're having mission conference. We need to realize the need. We need to have it put before us again and get burdened to do something about it. Not only in our own homes and reading the Word of God and it being precious to us, but sending copies to other folks and making sure that they can have a Bible. And I've seen the pictures. He talked about Brother Ed Stanley, and I've seen the video as people run and cling the Word of God and hold it to their chest because it's the first time they've ever held their own copy of the Word of God. And they can't believe that people would give it to them. And folks, it's just heartbreaking. We want the missionaries to go back. Great message for us tonight, my brother. The missionaries, go back to your tables. We want you to hang out with them and spend some time with them. Ask questions. It would be a great question for the missionaries tonight. Is there a pure copy of Scripture for where you're headed? Amen. It's a great, great question. Amen. And what can we do to help you get it there? Amen. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, I pray again tonight that You just watch over the families from our church, Lord, as we have a time of fellowship before we go home. Lord, we do know the storm is headed in and there'll be those on the coastline that get hit first. Lord, I pray that You just watch over our state. Be with us, Lord. Be with each family and our ministry here, Lord. I pray You'd watch over us and help us, Lord, that we might be able to on Sunday again witness for you, Lord. Help us to be able to just take care of us. And Lord, whatever comes, Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help these that have lost loved ones, Lord, as my heart is burdened for them. I pray you'd be with them. Give them peace, Lord, that only you can give. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.